This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, July 22, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Some West Michigan independent pharmacists say they're losing money with every prescription they fill. They met with state lawmakers Tuesday in Grand Rapids, drawing attention to third-party middlemen and a growing pharmacy desert crisis. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains.
Independent pharmacies are accessible healthcare providers who are so much more than just pill counters.
Advocates like Brandy Shane of American Pharmacies note, in some areas, drugstores may be the only local source for vaccinations, health screenings, and over-the-counter advice.
To ensure that these independent pharmacists can continue to stay in business, they have to be protected on the financial side.
Shane says independent, locally owned pharmacies are closing across Michigan due to low reimbursement rates and the fee structure imposed by pharmacy benefit managers. PBMs are third-party companies acting as middlemen between drug manufacturers, health insurance plans, and retail pharmacies. They were designed to streamline and oversee the process.
The people doing the work, the pharmacy, isn't seeing the majority of the money.
Grand Rapids K Pharmacy's Kevin Kolzer says state-level reform of the pharmacy benefit manager system is necessary, and existing laws need to be enforced to ensure small independent pharmacies remain financially viable.
When you go into a pharmacy and expect any type of service, people have to remember that the pharmacists are losing money most likely on their prescription. So
I'm Dee Morrison.
Grand Haven Area Public Schools will be asking voters to approve a nearly $99 million bond funding major renovations at three elementary schools. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The Grand Haven Area Public Schools Board of Education voted unanimously to place a $98.6 million bond proposal on the November ballot. If approved, the bond would be used to fund phase one of the district's long-term facilities master plan, including major renovations at Ferry, Peach Plains, and Rosie Mound Elementary Schools. Renovations include air conditioning, security upgrades, and gym and kitchen improvements. Plans also call for new classrooms at Ferry and Rosie Mound. Renovations at Peach Plains and Rosie Mound would cost around $29 million per school, while upgrades at Ferry would carry a price of almost $35 million. The bond would also fund some improvements across the district, including $1.3 million toward replacing aging school buses, $600,000 for musical instrument upgrades, and $3.5 million for improvements in technology. The proposal calls for a 1.95 mil increase, or $1.95 per $1,000 of taxable valuation. I'm David Limbaugh.
Commanders in the Grand Rapids Police Department say their K-9 teams are already doing most of a civilian review panel's policy recommendations, but WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they agree some adjustments may be appropriate.
I believe we have a good K-9 policy.
So good, Deputy Chief P.J. Baker says the Grand Rapids K-9 program is endorsed by the Commission of Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies.
Less than 5% of police agencies globally receive CALEA accreditation.
After video showed a police dog knock down and bite Daquan Johnson before he was shot and killed by police in February, Office of Oversight and Public Accountability Director Brandon Davis had 9 policy recommendations for the K-9 unit.
We still stand by the recommendations we made.
Of the 9 recommendations, Deputy Chief Baker says the K-9 team already follows most, and he agrees a K-9 bite should be considered use of force.
This study is correct. Nowhere in our policy does it specifically say K-9 apprehension is a use of force.
Baker says dogs helped apprehend 84 suspects between 2021 and 2025.
The dog was sent and physically bit somebody.
City Commissioner Marshall Kilgore says he hopes the briefing on K-9 policy will reassure his constituents.
Some neighbors who I represent have called for us to do away with the K-9 team. I'm hoping that the level of transparency will allow folks to receive a more full picture.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Gubernatorial Republican primary candidate Perry Johnson addressed supporters at a town hall meeting in Muskegon on Tuesday. WGVU's Dee Morrison was there.
Before a room full of about 200 supporters at the Dirty Dog Bar and Grill in Muskegon, Republican Perry Johnson spoke to what he could and couldn't do to eliminate taxes.
As governor, I can, with the stroke of a pen, eliminate income tax, sales tax, gas tax, but I cannot do anything about the property tax with a stroke of the pen. You need to have 500,000 signatures to get it on the ballot, and then the people vote on it.
Johnson also addressed President Trump's recently announced 50% tariffs on Canadian imports and the effects of the wildfire smoke on the state, noting what he would do as governor to support federal efforts.
You can always charge tariffs. You can close the bridge. There are all sorts of things you can do to force them to actually think about what's happening to our state here.
Fellow Republican Mike Cox dropped out of the primary last weekend, leaving Johnson in a two-man race against John James. The primary is August 4th. I'm Dee Morrison.
Dairy company Fairlife, which employs hundreds of people at its Coopersville plant, has paused U.S. production after experiencing a ransomware attack. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The Coca-Cola company announced its wholly owned subsidiary, Fairlife, had, quote, identified unauthorized access by a third party to a portion of its systems, including its production-related systems, in connection with a ransomware event, end quote. Fairlife alerted law enforcement and is working with cybersecurity experts. The company stated that product safety and quality were not affected by the event, but the full scope, nature, and impacts of the attack weren't immediately clear. As a result, Fairlife temporarily suspended production in the U.S. Fairlife operates three factories in the U.S., including its largest in Coopersville, employing around 400 people, and sourcing over 6 million pounds of raw milk per day from more than 30 Michigan dairy farms. Earlier this year, it announced plans for a $650 million expansion, creating 150 new jobs. The company did not specify when U.S. operations would resume. I'm David Limbaugh.
Officials are releasing more details about a Colombian drug ring conspiring to bring cocaine into the United States through Grand Rapids. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Two Colombian nationals were extradited to the United States to appear in federal court in Grand Rapids Friday, accused of conspiring to traffic cocaine from Colombia into West Michigan between late 2024 and mid-2025. Authorities say the men met at a Starbucks in Bogota, Colombia, planning a flight of 100 kilos of cocaine into Grand Rapids. Some of the cocaine was to be distributed in West Michigan, the remainder flown to Austria for distribution in Europe. A paid informant worked with law enforcement, and the men were arrested after a joint investigation between international and West Michigan agencies, including the Kent County Sheriff's Office, Grand Rapids Police Department, and Michigan State Police. U.S. Attorney Timothy Verhey noted in a press conference Wednesday, "We want to send this message. If you send drugs into our community, we will come for you, no matter where you are. I look forward to proving the guilt of these two defendants before a West Michigan jury." The men face up to life in prison if convicted. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. Michigan's governor okayed new tax breaks to spur construction of affordable housing on Tuesday. Colin Jackson has the details.
The new credit incentivizes developers and landlords to build or fix up more low-income housing. It's a state match to the federal low-income housing tax credit. Michigan State Housing Development Authority Director Amy Hovey says it'll build momentum toward filling a 97,000-unit gap in affordable homes. As far as the lost revenue goes,
if we get housing developed that meets the needs of employers and families, that will drive up families' incomes and will allow for more funding to be generated for the state budget.
Other new affordable housing laws include the loosening of some building safety requirements and a ban on large companies buying over 100 single-family homes. I'm Colin Jackson in Grand Rapids.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer says she is very concerned about the short and long-term effects of the Trump administration's new tariffs and shifting trade policies. We have more from Rick Pluta.
As a border state, Michigan's economy is closely entwined with Canada's, especially when it comes to manufacturing and agriculture. Whitmer says new tariffs, some as high as 50%, set to take effect in about a month, are bad news for Michigan's businesses and workers.
We are feeling the brunt of all the continuing fluctuation in tariff policy, the chaos that has been coming out of Washington, D.C. since the beginning of this administration.
The governor made the comments after a public event to sign the new state budget. She says economic headwinds and federal cuts to Medicaid, food assistance, and other programs made balancing the budget more challenging. I'm Rick Pluta in Southfield.
The Michigan Immigrant Rights Center and the Acacia Center for Justice are speaking out against the Trump administration's plan to dismantle the Unaccompanied Children Program. This program provides legal counsel for unaccompanied immigrant children. The current contract between the federal government and legal service providers is over at the end of July, putting the whole program at risk. Shayna Aber, the executive director of the Acacia Center, says dismantling the program would be traumatic for the kids.
Abandoning children to meet arbitrary mass deportation targets is immoral. This targeting of kids must stop. Children facing this system deserve legal representation and to have their voices heard.
Aber says many of these children have no choice but to come to the United States out of fear for their lives. She says they deserve the same protection as any other child in the country. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Today in our Cranes Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center speaks with Cranes staff writer Mark Sanchez about Corwell Health's expansion in southwest Michigan, how Ottawa County's shrinking aquifer is impacting growth, and we begin with health insurance rate increases coming in 2027.
Health insurance, health coverage has been going up at a multiple of the GDP and CPI for a long time. The last couple years, two, 3 years, we've seen double-digit increases for small businesses, companies with 50 and fewer employees. Last year, 11.2% statewide average, and the filings for 2027 rate requests finally got posted on the state database website the other day. And right now, for small employers, you're looking at an average 9.6% increase to renew your policy for 2027 for January 1 policy renewals. And yes, a little bit better from the double-digit increases the last few years, but still a big increase. And oh, by the way, this is an increase coming on health insurance has never been more expensive. So those costs just keep climbing and climbing. And this is a story we posted this week on CranesGrandRapids.com. It just kind of indicates that continuation of these high healthcare costs and high costs for health insurance that just keep going up and up and up. And that 9.6% average increase statewide, that's for the small group market. If you're an individual who buys your own health coverage, you buy an individual policy, whether you're a sole proprietor, you're self-employed, or you're just simply buying it on your own outside of a job, you're looking at a much bigger increase. Those averages, those individual policies, the rate hikes for those are going to average 14.2% for 2027. And if you want to look at kind of the individual carriers, you know, the two largest health insurers in Michigan are Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Priority Health here in Grand Rapids. And Priority Health is looking at basically an 11.6% average increase for the HMO policy, and the PPO policies are looking at about a 10.7% increase. Blue Cross Blue Shield's HMO subsidiary, Blue Care Network, 10.7% has been proposed, and maybe a little bit of a bright spot, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan for its PPO policies, only, and kind of hard to say that word, only 7% increase for 2027. So bottom line, these large rate increases for health insurance keep going. There's a number of factors driving this. We're an aging population. We are using more care. Your hospitals and care centers are seeing higher acuity cases. People are sicker. You're seeing the high cost of especially the specialty drugs and the pharmaceutical costs keep going up. And then you've seen, especially Blue Cross Blue Shield in the last couple of years, has been done a lot of complaining about hospital pricing. So there's no one bad actor, and this is just simply the system we have. And all these factors are coming together to just keep pushing up these health insurance costs for businesses.
We're talking with Cranes Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez. Ottawa County has a shrinking aquifer. They've known about this for several years. The county, by population, is one of the fastest growing in the state. What are they looking at right now and the threat to the economy there?
Yeah, this is an issue that needs to get handled. This first began showing up, told about 15 years ago. Groundwater wells for some of the subdivisions out in the Allendale area were beginning to run dry, so they had to dig their wells deeper. Farmers started reporting having saline in the water they were pulling from deep out of the ground to irrigate their crops. And so it's been looked at, and what's been basically found is the groundwater aquifer beneath areas of Ottawa County is not replenishing. It's not recharging. And I'm not going to go into the science of it because that's a hydrology and geology issues, but I look at things from a business issue, and you're right. If folks can't get enough water for their business, if they put it in a facility, or the developers, you know, there's a huge need for housing out there, they can't get enough water, that's a problem. And yes, you have municipal water systems just like anywhere, but if you have to extend those lines a long way to that subdivision you want to build, that's a big cost. That drives up the cost of housing. So it's an issue. And in the budget that the state legislature approved a few weeks ago, early this month, legislators allocated $500,000 to Ottawa County, which is going to try to look at this and do a study to figure out what exactly is happening. How can you start looking at recharging this aquifer? Now, the true irony here is we're right next to this, one of the largest bodies of fresh water in the world, but some areas don't have enough water. And the way Joe Bush, he's Water Resources Commissioner here in Ottawa County, explained it is a lot of folks think Lake Michigan feeds the aquifer. It does not. Again, a lot of hydrology and geology issues that we don't go into in the story, but it just doesn't. So that's the kind of the contrast here is right next to the big lake, but not enough water. So Ottawa County, it's going to expect to take bids to hire an outfit to do this study. It's going to take about 2 years to really give a good look at what's going on, why it's happening, and then maybe recommend what are some options for doing something about it. How do you recharge this aquifer? When I spoke with Joe Bush last week, he's the, again, Ottawa County's Water Resources Commissioner. He talked about, you know, Western states, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada have had this issue. They've got a shortage of water out there. We've seen stories here in the last number of weeks, months about the Colorado River that feeds so many water systems out west is drying up. So there's got to be some water conservation, as well as when you talk about the aquifer, how do you recharge it? And he talked about perhaps some pilot projects, looking at what they're doing in the West, industrial sites or organizations that use large amounts of water. Instead of just, when you're done with it, pumping it into a surface water, recharging that water and injecting it straight down deep into the ground, into the aquifer to try to replenish that. So there are some options, and this study is going to look at them. What's the best for Ottawa County? And more importantly, what's it going to cost? But you're right, Patrick, this is an issue that in time could really start affecting some economic development in the economy here.
We'll go from Ottawa County a little further south. Corwell Health is making an investment.
Yeah, Corwell Health, of course, the big health system based here in Grand Rapids, as well as headquartered as well, dual headquarters over in Southfield. It's expanding again. Did a story here the other day. Corwell's putting at least $43 million, probably more, in investments down into Southwest Michigan. It's going to include a new outpatient center in Niles, next to the hospital campus in Niles. They're looking at a new outpatient center, urgent care and primary care offices in South Haven. Now, the urgent care there will open here real soon. And then an outpatient center down at Royalton outside of St. Joseph, and then expanding some primary care practices in Bridgman and Dowagiac. Corwell and Corwell Health broke ground back in June on about a $10 million facility adjacent to the South Haven Care Center, or it's a new care center actually down in South Haven that's going to do a walk-in clinic, urgent care, and primary care. But the bottom line, this shows that the health system, it's a big employer and large system. It's now expanding down there into the southwest part of the state even more. You know, many years ago, the old Spectrum Health, before Spectrum and Beaumont merged to create Corwell, acquired the old former Lakeland Health down in St. Joe. So this is really investing more down in that region of the state and building the market presence even more.
Cranes Grand Rapids Business staff writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, July 22, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.